This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So today we celebrate the holy baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, hence the reading in our gospel reading today from Mark. Now, in the Episcopal tradition, there are two main sacraments. And the sacrament, the idea of the word sacrament means an outward and visible sign of an inward grace. So something that we do outwardly that shows of the reception of grace inside. Now, in the Episcopal tradition, as well as many others, there are two main sacraments, and that is Holy Baptism and Holy Eucharist. These are the two main sacraments that the church knows that Jesus instilled in the church that recognizes us as members of Christ's body. Now, when we think about baptism, as we have the readings today, this Holy Baptism Day, and I'm proud to say both of my children were baptized on the day or Holy Baptism of our Lord. So every year, January comes around, and it's always a reminder of that important step. Because when we baptize infants, like part of the role of the adults in their life, is that we are called to make sure they grow up in the stature of Christ. So in some traditions, they have what is called a believer's baptism. How many of you have heard of that? Or adult baptism only. And that idea is that you're baptized when you're old enough to decide for yourself that you want to be a member of Christ's body and blood. But the recurring theme in all of the readings today is this idea of water. All of creation needs water. I was looking up earlier this week, and depending on what sources you look at, the average person, depending on obviously your build and your muscle and everything, can live around 30 days without food. Now, I know that none of us here would like to try that out, but around 30 days without food. But for water, a human can only live about 3 days without water. So when we think about the constitution of how we are made and built and the world and how it needs water to thrive, it is no surprise then that this idea of water is the symbol that God uses and Christ uses and John the Baptist instills to proclaim us as part of a new creation. This new creation in Jesus Christ. And as Paul writes in his letters, remember that in his letters, these are new Christians. Right? People are just meeting who this man Jesus Christ is for the first time, most of them not ever really knowing who Jesus was. And that's our New Testament reading that we heard today. These are people like you and I who are gathered together and trying to understand what this new thing is that is happening. And he's explaining to them that this idea that we are born into new people when we are baptized. And that water symbolizes the cleansing of our heart. But then there's also this reoccurring theme, as we hear in Genesis, the reading today, where it says, then there was nothing and there was a void, and then the wind blew across. And Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. And in the psalm today, we hear more about the Holy Spirit. And then in our gospel reading today, recollecting Jesus' baptism, what comes from the sky? John says you will not only be baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Spirit. Now, one of the things, I'm a coastal person. I grew up in Florida. I grew up along the Gulf Coast. I love salt air, even though it corrodes everything, as we know. I love the scent and the moisture and the smell. And we lived in Northern Virginia for a time, and I remember one of the first things I missed was that smell of salt air. Just the smell of water being surrounded by it. And I always think that people who live on the coast, and I also think it is no surprise that Jesus came from an area called Galilee, which is surrounded by a sea, right? But I always feel like we have an opportunity to really fully understand further this idea of baptism and Holy Spirit. And a couple of months ago, other clergy and I, we gathered around. We have like a clergy conference, right? And it's at a camp in Alabama on the bay, so more water. And a new clergy colleague from Texas had just started at a church. He's over in Gulf Breeze. Super nice guy. And I remember he came up after we had a break and we were all kind of just exploring the property. And he came up as we were headed for lunch and he was so excited. He said, "You have to go down to the end of the dock. I've never seen anything like it." And we're like, "Well, what is it?" And he goes, "The birds are diving in the water." And we're like, "Okay." And they were pelicans, lots of pelicans. And those of us who live on the coast and have seen this phenomenon, right, they'll glide along like it's nobody's business. And when they spot their prey, they, boom, dart straight into the water. And he just thought this was the most fascinating thing. And it's funny because I always like to, this imagery sticks with me as someone who lives on the coast. When we hear about the dove coming out of the sky, right, that represents peace. Now, I think the imagery of the dove is something sort of calm and serene. But for me, I think it's probably more like the pelican that dove straight into the water and smacked Jesus with the Holy Spirit. What an imagery that would be for those who are recognizing now that's what happens when we are baptized. Right? And then there's this loud voice. The psalmist today reminds us that the voice of God is loud, the voice of God is powerful, and this voice comes and it says, "You are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." Earlier this week when I was doing chapel time with our little children, and they're little, you guys, they're like a year, 2 years, so trying to preach to about baptism to, you know, toddlers. And I was talking to them about water, you know, and all those sorts of things. And then, but in the story it says, that we shared, it says, "And God said," there was a voice that says, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And in this story, the last line of bold, it says, "God is pleased with you too." Now, friends, how many people in the world just need to know that God is well pleased with them? How many of you need to know that God is well pleased with you? And if we embrace this idea that in our baptism, God comes down like a pelican and strikes our heart with the Holy Spirit and says, "With you I am well pleased," is that not inspire us to live a life worthy of belovedness? Does it not inspire us to live a life seeking to live into being Christ-like? And the beautiful thing about baptism and the beautiful thing about Holy Eucharist is that we come up short. We are human after all. But we are reminded again and again and again that God continues to call us and that it isn't our striving that God is well pleased. It's not about perfection. It's about desire. I think it was Maya Angelou once said that when you know better, you do better. This life journey is about learning how to do better. But God doesn't want us to come to the holy table or be baptized when we are perfected. God says, "I invite you to come in and we will work on this together." That, my friends, is the truth of the Holy Gospel and of our baptism. Now, I was baptized in my 20s. And it's interesting to think about what it means for my children as when they were baptized as infants. Many of you may be baptized and some of you may not. But the invitation today as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord is to say thank you, God, for this idea of belovedness that lives within all of us, that you are so pleased with who we are as your creation, united with all of creation through the waters of baptism and through the love of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.